Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. This is Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. Now today is September 22nd. Not yesterday, but today. And all day I was saying, September 22nd. Yesterday was 21st, of course. But today, I've got a great show lined up for you. We were in the field and still are and will be after the show and for the foreseeable future working on a case. Russ Dizdar yesterday, in case you missed that, he, was in studio because, why? Because he was in the area. We were working, the case that, folks, you know, that we're working. It's, a huge, huge, huge case. And, things are accelerating. So we request that you pray specifically for the success of Russ Dizdar, his team, our efforts in, resolving what promises to be an incredibly large Epstein level human child sex trafficking operation in Northwest Pennsylvania, and that's very important. So with that, I just ask for your prayers and your prayers that we are successful. And I thank you in advance for your support and your understanding. And I also want to thank Richard Proctor for his understanding, because, you know, once you get into a investigation, you've got no idea when that phone will ring or when that radio will go off and say, you got to be here, you got to be there. And that's been the case for the last several weeks. And it's been a real challenge. I want to thank Eric the Tech for everything he's done and he's doing currently. So with that, again, thank you to Richard Proctor, because Richard Proctor is joining me today. And, you know, real quick, just to set this up, and then I'm going to give Richard the floor. What we're dealing with is the infrastructure for this global reset on a microcosmic level. I want you to understand this, okay? There are individual components to this great reset. There are people who have their marching orders as to what to do, as to what their role is, and it's very compartmentalized. And when you start understanding the relationship with, for example, bringing in people from the southern border, and you start understanding the satanic invoking of the satanic element to this. People don't talk about this. Why? Because they look at you like you're crazy. Okay, but there is this satanic component. And when this is all said and done, I can promise you this, and but not before, because you can't compromise an investigation. But once this is done, the evidence that you will see will just blow your hair back. And that's from the heart. I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like this ever in 30 plus years, 35 years of investigation. And I just want to say it's so thank you for your patience. All right. So Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com, always a crowd pleaser. If you go to ProvisInstitute.com, there you will find Saving the Constitution. We need to do that. We need to learn about economics. He's got books about economics, bathroom economics. He's got books about how we got here, and even how what we're dealing with right now, the Liberty Series. Folks, we're dealing with components, with elements of the Liberty Series that they've been identified in the Liberty Series. This is some of the not so nice people. It's contained in the Liberty Series. It's identified there. And we're dealing with the same substructure as Richard Proctor writes about. But the magnum opus there, Saving the Constitution, on your screen, that's what we're dealing with. And, oh, by the way, Saving the Constitution, he's got a weekly podcast. Please tune into that. And he also has a Patreon once a month. please tune into that and support Richard through the Patreon and talk to him one-on-one, or not one-on-one, but talk to him in a group, but have your questions answered one-on-one and have a discussion with him one-on-one in the midst of a group. There it is right there, patreon.com/Provis, and there you will be tuned right into Richard Proctor's Patreon meetings. Having said that, Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. I'm going to turn over the hour to you. And again, I want to thank you for your flexibility, given the fact that we've been running 24/7. If we could run 25/7, we would. It's just been a real crazy time right now. So, thanks for your flexibility. Let's talk about things, the components that go into this Great Reset. And you've got Bradley Dean, a good friend of the show, good friend of mine. You've had some correspondence with him, others, about really what this big takeover is all about. Let's talk.
Yep, let's chat. First thing, before I get started on those things, first with Bradley Dean, I last night was our Patreon meeting, right, and the attendees, we just had a fireside chat. Everybody participated. We answered questions. We talked about it, and we talked about the conspiracy that we're facing and how it's done, all the aspects of it. Some of the times it appeared that we were off topic, but we always were talking about the conspiracy that's happening. Next month, we're going to talk about secret societies. So I just thought I'd bring that up. That's the plan. You showed a spread of just a moment ago, of the Liberty series. The Patreon group is going to go through that Liberty series section by section for the next, I don't know, year and a half, 2 years, section by section. That's the plan. There are 20 plus sections in every one of those books.
That's a college level course.
Yes, that's 2.5 years. No, that's a year and a half for each book. So there's about an 8 year deal here. Just a thought. Just let people know what we're doing. This is not just chewing the fat. We're actually going through this book section by section. And next month, we're talking about secret societies.
You know, Richard, I got to say this. I never thought secret societies were a current thing until a few months ago, and then I'm stumbling over members of secret societies everywhere I go. It's a thing, and it's still real. They're still active, and I appreciate you doing that, committing that next Patreon. I appreciate you doing that.
Anyways, yes, they are active. There's no doubt about it. We'll bring up the secret societies next week. We'll talk about the membership numbers, what they do, how they came about, what happened, how it started. All those kinds of things we're going to talk about. Secret societies. Now, Bradley Dean. Now, I must mention something. I didn't have conversations with Bradley Dean. I read his article in News with Views. I've never met him, but I have confidence in him. This is what he reported. Now, all of these things I'm going to bring up happened today. This very day came to my website, my inbox, every day, this very day. Nothing from yesterday, nothing from last week. Things that happened this very day. Bradley Dean's discussion for the 22nd of September talks about Detroit TV. It's WXYZ Channel 7. They requested on air for people to come and leave posts on their place. And then they went onto Facebook and they asked people to send stories of unvaxxed people dying. Now that's what they said. Send us stories for unvaxxed people dying. Well, they didn't receive that. They received 182,000 Facebook responses of vaccine injuries and vaccine death. That's a post that was on Facebook last Friday it was posted on the 17th, and today by the 22nd, when they went to press, 182,000 responses into Facebook about injuries and death, not about people who had any problems that were unvaxxed, only people who were vaxxed, and they were all just coming. Bradley said he read dozens of them, and they all reported the same thing, the deaths and injuries, serious problems. Anyway, that's what's happening, you guys. Everybody thinks this is not going on. There's 182,000 stories on Facebook. So far, Facebook hadn't taken it down. And Bradley said they probably didn't, because the story would be greater if they did. But they won't leave it up for long. They'll take it down. You can be sure of it. But that's what happened over the last 4 days with Detroit TV request and Facebook. That's what happened. Today, I received an email. I get one of these every day from Edward Griffin, G. Edward Griffin. News you got to know about is what he calls it. Today, there were five stories. I'm going to go through them one at a time. The very first one talks about one out of 1,000 people who have been vaccinated will develop heart disease. Yes, one out of 1,000. That's from statistics of medical treatment, of care, medical care organizations, not just somebody doing a study. They did studies, of course. One out of every 1,000 people who get vaccinated will develop heart disease, inflammation of the heart. And 50% of those will die within 3 to 10 years. Those people wouldn't have developed heart disease if they had not taken that vaccine. And they wouldn't be dying within 3 to 10 years. And he didn't put an age on that. 20-year-olds, one in a thousand will get the disease, and 50% of those will die within three to ten years. That was the first story. The second story, vaccine injuries and deaths of children. Now, just a minute now. What did I just say? Vaccine injuries and deaths of children. I'm going to read that one. I'm going to read the article. There are newest examples. This is a segment of what is on the page. There are numerous examples of the United Nations, the World Bank, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the GAVI Vaccine Alliance running vaccine campaigns in third world countries that have killed, injured, or sterilized populations, mostly children. The internet has been scrubbed of most of this information. Bill Gates has spent or donated over $250 million to mainstream media outlets, which have given him virtual control over the public information. Children being sterilized, destroyed. On purpose, I might add. He was also involved in the Gardasil stuff. He took the Gardasil stuff to Africa to sterilize as many as they could. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Bill Gates is in the middle of sterilizing the country. Another article. The vaccine injuries. No, I'm sorry. 6 foot is an arbitrary decision. Arbitrary. No science involved. They just picked 6 feet. Now, the science involved would say not 6 feet, 26 feet. The virus will travel in undisturbed air, 26 feet. So if you're close like 20 feet to somebody who's got it, you will. Another article, not today, another time.
I just want to buttress that. If you've ever seen Eric the Tech sneeze, 26 feet is, you need a face shield at 26 feet. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay. Anyway, I read an item, not today. It was a day or two ago that says if 15 people are in a room, just 15 people in a room together, didn't give the dimensions, probably wasn't auditorium size, probably was just a regular room. Within a few minutes, everybody will have breathed air from everybody. Within just a few minutes. Remember, the virus goes 26 feet. Doesn't in non-disturbed air. If you've got a fan blowing or a wind blowing, it changes it. Might keep it in the air longer. But 6 feet does nothing. Okay? 6 feet does nothing. And the mask does nothing. So there you have it. The next one, a nurse. This is a nurse in the health services division, Indian nation, doesn't matter. She revealed the cover-up of the vaccine injuries and deaths that's been pushed on the public. Quite a discussion there that she points out. Next, and I think this is really, really bad. Scientists are working on growing plants. Lettuce and spinach is what they're concentrating on. Growing plants that will carry the disease of the injection. So you don't have to take the injection. Just eat the plant.
Yes, stated differently, it carries the composition of the clot shot, if you will, or the jab.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep,
right.
That's right.
And
yes.
Of this radical gene therapy. And think about that, Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Think about that, the fact that they can actually produce in greens this genetically modified substance. So the vaccine is not even a vaccine. It's a radical gene or genetic therapy. And if that doesn't really drive the point home, I don't know what will. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, yes. The MGO is gene multiplication or modification in your seeds, in your plants. Guys, these guys are fooling around with our food supply. Before, they've just been fooling around and it was, you know, missing things. Now they're fooling around with how to implant this mRNA factor into the plants so that when you eat them, you get the problem. Now that's really something. You don't have to worry. They don't have to worry about if you people were taking an injection or not. They won't matter. You're going to eat the plants. You've had it. And who's going to sell it? The stores. All the grocery stores will be selling produce with, and I don't know what other products come from the plants that they're going to use, but you can be sure that lettuce and spinach are the ones they're going to do first. Lettuce? Every time you go to a restaurant, you eat lettuce? Every time you buy a head of lettuce? Every time you use any lettuce at all, it introduces into you the gene modification that you get from the jab? That's amazing. This is all from Ed Griffin's website today.
Right. And I have to say this, other outlets have been reporting on that too. And this is in part a Gates or,
yes,
you know, even a larger pool, the people who want to see the population reduced. This is part, yes, of their plan. This is not for the health. This is not about health. This is about controlling the food, controlling what you eat so you consume what you refuse to take by way of injection. Go ahead.
Yes. And I talked about that 95% death of the planet. That only leaves about 500 million people. 95% of the people on this planet should die. Did you know Jacques Cousteau was a part of that 95%?
Yep.
People?
Yep.
Jacques Cousteau was a part of it?
Yep.
Guys, people we would never even think about are all a part of it. This is terrible. And they want 95% of the people dead. Not them, of course. Just us. And that's what this whole pandemic is about. This wasn't about a disease. This is about getting a vaccine to people. It's planned. There's no coincidences. There's no, oh, well, let's do a vaccine. No, 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 no. These things started with a plan clear back in before 2010. They just published the scenario in 2010 on page 18. And then they tested something. I don't know how they tested it, but they did in 2012. And now they've actually given it to us in 2020. But it was to destroy Trump and 95% of the lives of the people on the planet. Now everybody wants to take the shot to protect them against the hoax that they put upon us with lies. And now everybody wants to take the shot, and the shot was the goal. The shot's the goal. Now they got 80 million people won't take it. That's the number they pass around. 80 million people won't take it. That's why we're having such emphasis from Biden. 80 million people are getting away with it just in this country. 80 million. So we got to figure out other ways to do this. Door to door. All that kind of stuff. Isolation camps, all that kind of stuff. We got to get you to give the shot. Folks, be scared of this. It's coming at us. And hospitals are one of the worst violators of these things. Why? Because they make money. They stay open because they further this program. And as they further the program, they get paid by the government to further it. And that's the only way they're staying open, because the patients aren't there anymore, because they stop having them. The docs and nurses have been laid off because they don't have anything to do except little odds and ends. I know the VA hospital in my community here in Salt Lake City, which covers most of the Midwest, up to Utah, clear up to Montana, Nevada, Idaho, all around. The one here in Utah covers all of that area. They've got a pretty good-sized hospital. The complex is huge. And they have 40. They had, at the time I discovered it, 40 patients. That's all, 40 patients. And presumably they all had COVID. Nothing else. Nothing else. No elective stuff, nothing else.
Well, and folks, we're being lied to. Just real quick, as you're talking, there is an article dated yesterday in the American Thinker by Leanne Horrocks, the title of the article is "Here's a Nurse Who May Have Figured Delta Out." All right, this is not just about the Delta variant or what they're terming the Delta variant, but this is about everything that Richard just spoke about from a nursing perspective. The fact that the vaccine, in quotes, is not a vaccine, it's a radical genetic gene therapy currently being tested on the human race. The vaccine, and I use that term loosely, doesn't work for its stated purpose. It doesn't prevent infection. It's risky. You've got myocarditis, as you pointed out, the heart troubles.
One out of a thousand.
That's probably understated. The vast majority of information outlets in America have been enlisted to join the government and fiercely being very aggressive in tamping down this information. And it's interesting that that article that was talked about by Bradley Dean, going back to your original statement, is still standing. However, you're right. Taking that out would have the what I call the Project Veritas effect. It would amplify the message and create a worse situation than leaving it alone. So go ahead, sir.
And you just mentioned the VARS effect. I read this yesterday. They're talking about the number of deaths and things, and they had big numbers, but the end of the article said, and Veritas really only gets 1% of what's going on.
The voluntary adverse event reporting system.
On immunizations. They get 1% of what's happened because it's all voluntary.
Right.
1% is all they get. So anything you see that talks about that organization should be multiplied by 100.
I would say that's more accurate than not. And people will say, well, how can you prove that? Well, you can extrapolate from the actual VAERS reporting system itself in the fact that, okay, how many are reporting? It's about, it's 1% or, some say 5%, 1%, whatever the percentage might be, but it's certainly woefully inadequate. Go ahead.
You know, I've been compiling articles on these subjects. I've been doing this for about, 2 months, maybe less. I have 24 articles right now in this list. No, 22 articles right now in this list of 40,000 words. I can almost just copy these and have a book. And it's only been the last month or so of major items. And this thing about VARES, whatever, is in the last one I got from Lex Green. And he talked about one case after another, case after case after case after case, that all had significant death. Mm. Yes, death. All and taken from their records.
That's the objective. I mean, when you look at the... This goes back to your last night's Patreon about conspiracies into next month's Patreon about secret societies. The secret societies are working the conspiracies, and folks, there are secret societies out there. Believe me when I say this, because I can point to a few right now, but I'm not going to. But the fact is, you've got these societies who are teamed up with the globalists, the globalist period, and the genocide favoring individuals who want to reduce the population. And you see how nice this all fits together, folks? Go ahead, sir.
I would say it just a little bit different.
Okay.
The secret societies are the people in the conspiracy. They are the Rothschilds and the Hagman and the, not the Hagman.
Wait, whoa.
The Harriman. Yeah, you made a mistake last week and I made a mistake.
I know.
Never mind. The Harriman family. The Bush family belongs to the Harriman family.
Yep.
These people are right here today. They're the descendants of Lazard, Kuhn Loeb, House, Dulles. We can go on and on. The list is in the front of my book, my volume one.
Yep.
It's right in the preface on the second page. The list of these people. You can go see their names. Then if you've got volume one in your possession, you can go to the end and you can get the entire membership of the Skull and Bones since 1835 to 1985. The whole membership and the year they served and who was there. The Bush family had seven. Seven. Is that right? Seven? Yes, that's right. I get it together. Seven people in that organization. And there's only 15 selected out of the senior class each year at Yale University. And of those 15, during the years they were there, they have seven in their family that are members of Skull and Bones. Oh, you guys, the Order of Skull and Bones is a big deal. It's the beginning ground, taking people in, teaching them, and getting them into the program of the conspiracy that I talk about. By the way, there's no theory here at all. There is no theory about this conspiracy. They just use that as a term to make you think it's fake. It's not fake. And we're going to talk about those secret societies next month. We're going to talk about them, name them. We're going to go over what they do, what they are, when they started. I have a book right here. Let me just bring it out here right now. Just bring it out. See that book right there? I see it backwards. I don't know how you guys see it. That book is written by a guy named Robison. In 1798, eyewitness account of the foundation of the Illuminati.
Eyewitness account. Wow. All right.
Eyewitness account. Yep, 1798. And then he traces all about, he traces what they do. We're going to talk about all that kind of stuff next week.
Good.
That's where it's coming from. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's still with us. It's still with us.
I'm going to toss in the line that you're talking about here. I'm not going to stray from what you're talking about, but I will say this. The more I look at the things that you're talking about, the more I see, so-called elite, which are not elite folks. They're scumbags. And that's putting it kindly. I believe as I see all of this take place, that none of these scumbags that associate like themselves with the elite have taken the clot shot. They've probably taken the saline solution. That's my opinion.
No. I'm going to take it at all.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Well, you're on television. Okay, give it to me. And if it's a syringe going into someone's arm that's considered elite, I don't believe that clot shot juice is in that syringe. That's my view.
It's a good idea. It's a good plan. It's a good observation. Absolutely.
Yeah. So
they know what's going on. They're not going to put it in their bodies.
No, they're not. But you will you will put it in your bodies. And Fauci just came out. Mike Adams reporting on this. You know, you're not considered. You will not have a digital passport or vaccine card or whatever you want to call it unless you got the three shot, the trifecta of genetic therapy abuses. Just saying. But that's all in line with what you're saying. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. And they're going to have more shots coming. 4 a year, 3 a year, every year on out. And if you haven't got all of them, you're not vaccinated and you are considered unvaccinated by the rules, not by the stuff. You're already vaccinated for sure. And booster shots to make sure it takes. And if it didn't take, you're going to have another one. Oh, yes. On and on and on and on. This is all. This is now the next. I want just two more items. I want to come back to what we were just talking about. First, Washington State. Washington State now has posted an ad to hire people. Okay. They've advertised for people to come and work for as a staff working in the isolation and quarantine facilities. They are manning, State of Washington is hiring a staff of people to operate the isolation camps and the quarantine camps. Now think on that for a minute. That's what's happening, you guys. That's what's happening. Folks, we're in deep kimchi. Now, this is the one I wanted to get to next, for sure. Humana. Humana is a big insurance company. I got a document from Humana today. What you need to know about the flu shot. Very important to take the flu shot. This is an emphasis to take the flu shot. This is what the article said that I copied out. Well, I pasted it out. I didn't copy it at all. I copied and pasted it. What you need to know about the flu shot. A flu shot is the best way to lower your risk of getting the flu. According to the CDC, it also helps reduce the spread of the flu to your friends, family, and coworkers. Do you pick up the words there? Reduce the spread of the flu to your friends, family, and coworkers? Isn't that what masks are supposed to do? Isn't that what the vaccine's supposed to do? Okay, reduce the spread. Here we got flu shot. Reduce the spread of the flu to your families, friends, and coworkers. So even if you don't think you need it for yourself, do it for those you love. Do it for those you love. Isn't that the advertisement for taking the vaccine? Get your shot before the flu season begins to get safer sooner so you and your family are prepared. Isn't that exactly what we're being told? For the reason to take the flu shot, here it comes out from a reputable insurance company telling people to get the flu shot. It's going to be laced with the mRNA gene therapy stuff, just the same as the injection. Now, on that same article, Stanford researchers have decided, again, Humana's article, that 98.6 is not the proper body temperature any longer. Oh, yeah? The body temperature.
Wait, what?
Yep, the body temperature. 98.6 is not the body temperature any longer.
They're going to have to change that 60s song then.
Yes, we have to say to change a lot of stuff.
All right.
The body temperature, this was the body temp, they said, this is what they said. And that's this part's probably true. The body temperature was determined like in 1851, by the taking people and putting temperatures under their armpits to figure out what their temperature was, putting it all together, and they came up with 98.6, and it's lived for 150 years. But now, Stanford researchers, whoever they are, have decided that the body temperature is really 97.9, which is a half a degree lower. Now, if you went to the hospital today and they took your temperature and it was 99.1, they would consider that a fever and we're in trouble. You know, you got to take care of this. Just a half a degree up. Well, if the body temperature is alleged to be 97.9, one half a degree above that is 98.6 and you've got a fever. And isn't that one of the things they look for to make sure you got to take the shot? You see what's happening here? And this came from Humana. We're changing everything so that we can get everybody inoculated. Jab.
Not going to work. I mean, it's so for the sheep out there, you know, look, if you want to get that clot shot based on your independent research, then by all means, don't let me stop you. Okay? And I mean that. All right.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
In fact,
I've got my opinion, you've got yours, right?
That's right. I'll drive you there if you want, okay? Because, you know. But, so they're changing definitions. They're changing rules. You know, follow the science as long as, I mean, you got to follow the science, but the science changes like every other day. And it doesn't evolve with increased knowledge. It devolves with increased propaganda. Go ahead.
Goals. There's a program, there's a plan, and the science will make sure that you think the science is supporting their plan. I mean, that's what's going on, you guys. There's no real science behind any of this stuff. Remember I said the virus floats for 26 feet? They call it 8 meters. That's 26 feet. Did you know the virus blows that far? So what's this to do with 6 feet? Nothing at all. Did you know that the virus is tenth of a micron in size? 1/10 of a micron. I mean, 1/10 of a micron. That's so small. That's getting back to, wow, 1/10 of a micron? That's the size. So the mask you've got will probably take, I don't know, 20 microns. Whoops. It'll stop 20 micron, an item the size of 20 microns or 10. I don't care which number you use, but the germ is 1/10 of a micron, which means that the germ will float through that and not even see the edges. Football field, like, you know, side of a football field, side of a basketball court. I don't know exactly. I didn't compute that. I can, but I didn't. I mean, that's the relationship. It's not 1/100th now. I mean, 1/10th. It's 1/100th of the size. Because you see, the 10 microns and 1/10th of it would be 1/100th of 10 microns. 1/10th of one is 1/100th of 10. 10 microns is about what is the best that mass can do. And most of them won't even do less than, I don't know, 150, 175 or 80. Most of them won't even do that. A cloth mask over your face, in many cases, won't even keep the dust out. You can see dust. Folks, that's what's going on. We're being lied to. They call it science. Oh, they started this. They started this at the Iron Mountain Conference. What can we do? How can we keep control of people during a peacetime? That was the goal of the Iron Mountain Congress, convention, committee, however you want to do it. That group of people met in the cavern in Iron Mountain. Now, what's that cavern? That cavern is where most of the major organizations have their major business information, major business assets, so that they'll be protected in case of some kind of a catastrophe.
And I just want to add one thing. Okay, the report from Iron Mountain has been the subject of much controversy and, of course, fact-checking. Anytime a fact-checker comes up and says the report from Iron Mountain is a fraudulent document and it was admitted to being a fraudulent document contemporaneous to its issuance back in the whatever late 60s, early 70s. I think it was late 60s.
Yep. Okay, late 60s.
You're right. You've got to understand, folks, that is propaganda itself. In other words, the information contained in that report from Iron Mountain was not assailed. It was the author who then allegedly walked back some stuff based on, quote, fact-checking. What I'm saying to you is pay attention to that report. Like Richard Proctor just said, pay attention. Go ahead, sir.
I have a copy of that report myself. I have read it. I have read what the Iron Mountain report talks about. And in essence, the whole goal was, how do we control the population when there's not a war going on? That was the goal. So they talked about, I'm going to talk about a little what that Iron Mountain report says, the results of that committee and their research. What can we do? Well, one of the things they said to do, let's tell people that asteroids will come and destroy the world so that we can get people to build things to protect us from the asteroids. That way we can control the people because they'll be afraid of asteroids. They'll be afraid of the sky. That was a goal. Disease was a goal. Disease. Climate was a goal. The guys decided on climate, the real users decided on climate, and that's where climate cooling came about first time. The ice age is coming. Oh, we're all going to die of ice. Oh, terrible. Then it got warm. Oh, warming. Everything, we're going to die of floods now. It got cool again. Oh, now climate change is going to take us all out. In 100 years, we're all going to die from climate change. And you can't test that, folks. You can't test 100 years from now. It's impossible. It's untestable. I can test something that they claimed would happen in 10 years because now is 10 years after that claim. And now it didn't happen. So obviously the claim was incorrect then. And by the way, that's much of what Al Gore does. He claimed and said these things would happen in 10 years and they haven't happened. They haven't happened in 20. They haven't happened in any of the period of time. And they won't happen in 100 either. How about that? All of these things are fabricated for propaganda to control the population when there's no war going on.
And if I can just add a question here to you, How are people not seeing this? When you've got the, in my view, in my personal opinion, the psychopathic mayor of San Francisco out there, you know, doing the boogie-oogie dance to whatever spirit or song moved her, you know, Massless, and saying, well, you know, that's okay. So you've got these overlords who say, well, I don't need a mask. You've got the overlords saying, saying one thing and doing another, and it's in our faces. They're laughing at us. How is it that the sheep who are so afraid to leave their house without an N95 respirator mask, who are so afraid to leave their house without their 19th booster shot? I watched a conversation online, and saying, well, you know, if I have to lie to get my booster, I will, saying I'm immunocompromised. How is it, Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, how is it that these people are just falling for this cult-like lie activity when, in fact, they call people who, you know, want to keep America great again the cultists, and yet they're the sheep, they're the part of the cult, they're the part of the, my gosh, you know, we've got to just do this, the virtue signal and such. I mean, what's wrong with this picture? Why aren't people understanding that they have been bent over and ravaged, and they still are? And what's wrong with people? I guess that's my question. Richard Proctor, ProvostInstitute.com. What is wrong with people? Go ahead, sir.
Okay, I'm gonna try to answer what I think what you're talking about is the cause of this. It goes back to, oh, I don't know, Dewey in charge of the school system a long, long time ago, when the Illuminati guys, it was in the 1800s. He went to Germany and talked with Adam Westphal. He came back from Germany and began the school system, and one the public school system. Okay, and then they slowly changed things in the public school system so that you didn't learn. Now, since about 1960, and that was the year they took God out of the schools. Yeah, 1962 and 63. Again, that's in my Liberty series. The dates, who did it, and how it was done, Supreme Court. Anyway, that's when those things started to come out. And then the teachings of the schools to all the kids. What? How old are the kids now that were in school in the 1970s? 50 years old.
Yeah, 60, depending on what part of the 70s.
You know what part we're talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
50 to 60 years old. They're not youth. And I've read these things. Teachers saying to the kids, truth is how you see it. What you see is truth. And they're hammered. It's hammered into them in this 6 hours a day, 5 days a week for 9 months of the year. It's hammered into them. Truth is how you see truth. How you see truth, that's truth, not real truth. It's what you think is truth. You can do what you want. It's okay. Depending on, there's no morality. Do whatever you want. That started in the 60s and moved into the 70s. People now 50 and 60 years old that were taught those things. Yes.
There's a great vacuum that's created when you take God out of the schools, you take morality out of governance and the schools and the justice system. You have left a system that is guided by immorality, that's guided by or influenced by the worst of the worst. You're right.
It's a satanic goal.
Yes.
Satanic plan. And it's being put in. So I would say to you that the reason people are acting this way is because they were conditioned to accept whatever the government says for the last 50 years in school. They're also conditioned to think that socialism works. They can't find a place where it did, but they always say, well, that wasn't done right. If they'd just done it right, it would have worked. And that's the way the professors teach it. Oh, if it had just done right, it would have been okay. It's wonderful. I talk about the book, Philip Drew Administrator. That book is a plan to how to destroy the United States. Page by page. It's a very, very interesting book to read, but you got to pick out the plan to destroy the country. And the CEO, Philip Drew, the CEO, the administrator of the United States, at the end of the book, decides that everything is right, exactly right. We have reached utopia, and he goes off into the sunset in a boat with his wife and kids. We're off in the sunset. I'm not going to bother anymore. It's all done. It's perfect. And that's the idea they give everybody, that as soon as this program is right, the leadership will turn it over to the people, because now it's right, and the leadership will bow out. And that's what Philip Drew does in the book. And folks, that's what they teach over and over and over. Socialism wasn't done right. If they'd just done it right, it wouldn't be a problem. Oh, it's perfect if they just would do it right. But nobody can do it right. So it never works. It's also patterned after a plan outlined in the New Testament, where they talk about people living in a group and everybody contributing to the group, their work and their results. And so everybody becomes a part of a group. That was brought up in the New Testament. It didn't work then either.
Exactly.
It didn't work. Nope. It doesn't work. People don't do it. People don't do it. So socialism won't work. There's a story in the economics classes. They talk about those who want to talk against socialism talk about it. Those who want socialism will not talk about it. Okay? That's why I had such a tough problem in school, because I won't accept socialism. They get really upset with me. Anyway, so here we go. Here's what happened. This is a story that happened in an economics class, maybe. I don't know. Could have happened in any class, though. Didn't have to be an economics class. Happened in any class. The youth who have been brainwashed that socialism is great, everybody, the ultimate is everybody be the same. We'll have everything right. Everything will be perfect. Oh, it'll be just a utopia. By the way, that's what the Illuminati's talking about. Those that are illuminated to the truth. That's what Illuminati means. That's why they use that term. They have illuminists, those people that are most light, have more light in them, the illuminists. That's a term they use in their organization. How about that? Anyway, Illuminati, here we go. Well, we're back to this class, any class. The students said, we want to be fair to everybody. We don't want anybody to fail. We want everybody to be successful and get this passed, get everybody be perfect and successful in this program. So to do that, they said to the professor, I'll get the word economics out of it, it doesn't matter. It can be any class. To do that, the professor says, okay, do you really want me to do that, to grade that way? Yes, we want you to grade that way. We want everything to be the same so everybody wins together. Everybody wins together. Did you hear that phrase? Everybody wins together. We all get A's. That's the plan. Everybody will be the best they can be. Well, the teacher says, okay, I'll do it. We'll start this whole semester. That's what we'll do. I'll do that. So the teacher then gives a test. Now, everybody in the class had assignments to do. And there were a lot of people in the class that just worked hard and they learned the material. And a lot of people in the class, maybe the class is only 30, so it's not a lot, but get the idea. Other people's in the class, they didn't do anything because that was their norm. They didn't do anything. So they took the test. Everybody takes the test. The guys that didn't do anything would have gotten Fs, and the guys who did everything really good would have gotten As. But the professor had told them we would grade everybody the same. So everybody got a C. What? The hardworking guy said, what? And the other guy said, yay! Okay, I got a C, yay! I didn't do anything, I got a C, yay! And the hard worker said, I worked hard, and I only got a C. What? So, the hard workers didn't work so hard. And more people floated down to the I don't do anything area. And the next test, everybody got a B. No, they didn't. They all got Ds because that's what the average was. They didn't win. They lost. Everybody didn't get a B. They lost. They went to Ds. Now the students, the best guy, what do I get a D? What are you talking about? I knew more. Oh, no. Everybody was graded on the average. Everybody, the average was D. And the guys who did nothing at all were tickled to death. They still got a D. And now we have people blaming each other for why the grades were the way they were. The next test, everybody failed. Now there's anger. Everybody's fighting. You didn't do anything. You didn't do this. We only failed because of you. You didn't do enough. You. But you notice failure, not winning.
Right.
Every person in the class failed because they didn't learn the material. Everyone failed because the people who worked hard didn't want to have their work given to somebody else, i.e., I don't want to work hard in my business because my profit will be given to them. I don't want to work hard in a progressive income tax. Well, the word progressive, it's very important. Progressive means better, okay? Progressive income tax, which is an income tax that's graduated. The more you make, the more you pay. Everybody says that's the way it should be. The more you make, the more you should pay. So the people who are making more begin to look and say, well, not just a minute. I'm making more, but they take it away from me. So since I'm making more, and to make more, I have to have businesses. And since I have to have businesses to make more, I just won't do any more businesses. Then I'll keep my money. It won't be at risk. I won't lose anything. I'll have what I have, and I won't lose it because I didn't make it, you see. You don't get taxed on stuff you have. You get taxed on stuff you earn. So we won't worry about earning anything. So I won't establish any businesses. So what happens? All the people that would have worked in his business don't. So now we have a case where nobody's working because nobody's investing, because the rich don't have any incentive to invest, because if they invest, they just lose. They can always lose, but they never win, because if they win, they're taxed and they lose again. So they stop doing it. And companies can't do it, can't grow, especially companies with a lot of infrastructure, cannot grow, cannot be established if there's nobody investing in them. And these guys with the money won't, because they don't want to lose it. So the other guys don't have jobs and they don't have anything, and the economy goes down. That's progressive income tax. That's how it works. Now, why did we get it in 1913? How did they sell this program? They sold it by telling the people who were on the will be supported or not. They said, don't worry about it. It's only going to be 3%, and it's only going to be against the rich people. Don't worry about it. And shouldn't we tax the rich? Shouldn't they pay their fair share? Do you hear that today? Pay their fair share?
You're right. Yeah.
That's what socialism is.
Yep.
Pay your fair share, which means your fair share. You don't need $1 million to live. You only need 20,000 like I have. Okay. So I'll give you all of my money and I'll be 20,000 like everybody else. No, he doesn't say that. He just doesn't invest. And you don't have a job. So the whole economy goes down. Folks, capitalism is not wrong. Capitalism is right. But misused capitalism is wrong. Did you hear how I said that? You can think about anything. Chlorine. Chlorine is a good thing. Goes into your water, kills the germs, so you have water you can drink and not get sick. Chlorine's good. Dump a gallon of it and it'll kill you. It's bad. So chlorine is bad. No, chlorine is good. Used properly, chlorine is good. Used improperly, chlorine is bad. That's the same with capitalism. Used properly, it's good. It develops a community. It develops. Everybody has things. But you don't get it by doing nothing. You get it by earning. But when you earn, you get to keep what you earn. That's capitalism working. Now, bad use of capitalism is the people take their capitalism and they buy big companies to put other little companies out of business. Just a minute, what did I just say? Big companies can continue to work while little companies are put out of business? By the way, that's socialism. Let's think back to 2020. Let's just think back. What happened in 2020? The big box stores stayed open. The little people, the small stores, all went out of their clothes. They closed their doors, shut them down. They didn't shut down Costco. They didn't shut down Walmart. They didn't shut down Home Depot. They didn't shut down any of the big companies. You had to go there to buy, because all the places you used to buy from are now shut down. By who? By the government. So you see, that's capitalism was right for all those people who were doing small businesses. That was right. The big businesses, they weren't wrong until they used their purchasing power, their selling power, to destroy what was right. And that's what they did per the government. our government. Such a nice government.
That's right. And you've got the co-conspirators out there saying, okay, we're going to define what an essential worker is. We're going to define what an essential business is. And you're leaving, you are contaminating capitalism by way of political agenda and into the communist model. And what you said earlier about the progressive income tax, that really originates from Karl Marx, who's not the originator of the statement from each according to his ability to each according to his needs. That's kind of the basis for that progressive income tax and everything that undergirds what we're seeing today. So you're exactly right. Go ahead.
It was the Roosevelt, one of the Roosevelt family that really put that together in about 1850, way before Karl Marx.
Right.
About 1850 or a little earlier. He's the one who started this idea from everybody according to everybody according to their needs and from everybody according to their ability, that kind of thing. We're going to take from people who have more, give it to people who have nothing. That's what it is. That's where it started. Or at least that's the information I have where it started, Roosevelt. Not Theodore or Franklin Delano, but a Roosevelt of the family. His last name, it's in the book. It's in the book. It's in the Life of Liberty series.
I apologize for over-talking. The Liberty series, folks, is an important read. Make sure you get a hold of the Liberty series from ProvisInstitute.com. We only have about 4 minutes. I can't believe how quickly this hour's gone. 4 minutes left of the program. What's that? 3 minutes left. Eric the Tech just corrected me. But you dumped a lot of information in this hour, a lot. So go ahead and wrap it up in 3 minutes.
Well, the bottom line is that we are being turned into a socialistic country. By the way, this has been a health thing when we talked about the things from Crookin's thing, and now it's an economics thing. So we're that's okay. Anyway, so socialism is sold to our kids in school as a utopia, and they believe it and they want it. So it's easy for them to follow the path to become a part of that kind of a system. And it destroys system. Socialism destroys the system. And I would never part of it. That's why I have a Provost Institute. I have Provost Institute of political economics to teach people the real stuff and teach people why socialism is bad and what is right and how to have proper capitalism. That's what it does. That's what it's for. The goal is to provide a source of income, of information that's not tainted by today's school system. Not tainted by today's school system.
And I have to commend you on that, folks. I want everyone at the end of this broadcast or now to visit ProvisInstitute.com. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com for this episode. And it's linked at all of our programs with Richard Proctor. And I want you to take a good hard look at the material there. Because, you know, some people say do your own research. That doesn't mean Google. It doesn't mean,
whatever. Sure doesn't. Okay. It sure doesn't mean Google.
Right. It means reading a book. It means doing the deep research, not some algorithmic, instructive, pre-programmed BS. And that's why Richard's important. That's why his work is important. And that's why I have him on the show, because he's got the message. And support him by way of Patreon. I can't wait for the next one about the secret societies. I think that's so important right now. So very important. But Richard, I want to say thank you. Again, thank you for being so flexible. It's we're beat up, rode hard, put away wet here in the investigations that are taking place. But thank you but this is the program for tonight. I want to say thank you for your
excellent
flexibility.
Glad to be here. Worked out very well. Appreciate it.
A lot of information in that, brother. A lot of information in that hour. My goodness. All right. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Folks, again, I'm going to ask you, please do me a favor. Please put your prayers on Northwest Pennsylvania, Erie specifically, Russ Dizdar, his team, our team, teams working together to really expose what's really taking place. Things are heating up. Understand that this is really a component of the larger Great Reset. And if we can be the fly in their ointment, the cog in their, or the wrench in their cog, then so be it. We can at least buy some time. May God bless each and every one of you. Please stay safe. Please pass information about this program along to others. May God bless. Good night. Tomorrow, Steve Quayle, by the way. Tomorrow, Steve Quayle. And there it is. Provis. And welcome to Hagman. This is Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. Now today is September 22nd. Not yesterday, but today. And all day I was saying, September 22nd. yesterday was the 21st, of course. But today, I've got a great show lined up for you. We were in the field and still are and will be after the show and for the foreseeable future working on a case. Russ Dizdar yesterday, in case you missed that, he was in studio because, well, why? Because he was in the area. We were working the case that folks you know that we're working. It's a huge, huge, huge case, and things are accelerating. So we request that you pray specifically for the success of Russ Dizdar, his team, our efforts in resolving what promises to be an incredibly large Epstein level human child sex trafficking operation in Northwest Pennsylvania, and that's very important. So with that, I just ask for your prayers and your prayers that we are successful. And I thank you in advance for your support and your understanding. And I also want to thank Richard Proctor for his understanding, because, you know, once you get into a investigation, you've got no idea when that phone will ring or when that radio will go off and say, you got to be here, you got to be there. And that's been the case for the last several weeks. And it's been a real challenge. I want to thank Eric the Tech for everything he's done and he's doing currently. So with that, again, thank you to Richard Proctor, because Richard Proctor is joining me today. And, you know, real quick, just to set this up, and then I'm going to give Richard the floor. What we're dealing with is the infrastructure for this global reset on a microcosmic level. I want you to understand this, okay? There are individual components to this great reset. There are people who have their marching orders as to what to do, as to what their role is, and it's very compartmentalized. And when you start understanding the relationship with, for example, bringing in people from the southern border, and you start understanding the, the satanic invoking of these satanic element to this. People don't talk about this. Why? Because they look at you like you're crazy. Okay, but there is this satanic component. And when this is all said and done, I can promise you this, but not before, because you can't compromise an investigation. But once this is done, the evidence that you will see will just blow your hair back. And that's from the heart. I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like this ever in 30-plus years, 35 years of investigation. And I just want to say it's – so thank you for your patience. All right. So Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com, always a crowd pleaser. If you go to ProvisInstitute.com, there you will find Saving the Constitution. We need to do that. We need to learn about economics. He's got books about economics, bathroom economics. He's got books about how we got here, and even what we're dealing with right now, the Liberty Series. Folks, we're dealing with components, with elements of the Liberty Series that they've been identified in the Liberty Series. This is some of the not so nice people. It's contained in the Liberty Series. They identified there, and we're dealing with the same substructure as Richard Proctor writes about. But the magnum opus there, Saving the Constitution, on your screen, that's what we're dealing with. And, by the way, Saving the Constitution, he's got a weekly podcast. Please tune into that. And he also has a Patreon once a month. please tune into that and support Richard through the Patreon and talk to him one-on-one, or not one-on-one, but talk to him in a group, but have your questions answered one-on-one and have a discussion with him one-on-one in the midst of a group. There it is right there, patreon.com/Provis, and there you will be tuned right into Richard Proctor's Patreon meetings. Having said that, Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. I'm going to turn over the hour to you. And again, I want to thank you for your flexibility, given the fact that we've been running 24/7. If we could run 25/7, we would. It's just been a real crazy time right now. So, thanks for your flexibility. Let's talk about things, the components that go into this great reset. And you've got Bradley Dean, a good friend of the show, good friend of mine. You've had some correspondence with him, others, about really what this big takeover is all about. Let's talk.
Yep, let's chat. First thing, before I get started on those things, first with Bradley Dean, I last night was our Patreon meeting, right. And the attendees, we just had a fireside chat. Everybody participated. We answered questions. We talked about it, and we talked about the conspiracy that we're facing and how it's done, all the aspects of it. Some of the times it appeared that we were off topic, but we always were talking about the conspiracy that's happening. Next month, we're going to talk about secret societies. So I just thought I'd bring that up. That's the plan. You showed a spread of the, just a moment ago, of the Liberty series. The Patreon group is going to go through that Liberty series section by section for the next, I don't know, year and a half, 2 years, section by section. That's the plan. There are 20 plus sections in every one of those books.
That's college level course.
Yes. That's 2.5 years. No, that's a year and a half. For each book. So there's about an 8-year deal here. Just a thought. Just let people know what we're doing. This is not just chewing the fat. We're actually going through this book section by section. And next month, we're talking about secret societies.
You know, Richard, I got to say this. I never thought secret societies were a current thing until a few months ago. And then I'm stumbling over members of secret societies everywhere I go. It's a thing, and it's still real. They're still active, and I appreciate you doing that, committing that next Patreon. I appreciate you doing that.
Anyways, yes, they are active. There's no doubt about it. We'll bring up the secret societies next week. We'll talk about the membership numbers, what they do, how they come about, what happened, how it started. All those kinds of things we're going to talk about. Secret societies. Now, Bradley Dean. Now, I must mention something. I didn't have conversations with Bradley Dean. I read his article in News with Views. I've never met him, but I have confidence in him. This is what he reported. Now, all of these things I'm going to bring up happened today, this very day, came to my website, my inbox, every day, this very day. Nothing from yesterday, nothing from last week. Things that happened this very day. Bradley Dean's discussion for the 22nd of September talks about Detroit TV. It's WXYZ Channel 7. They requested on air for people to come and leave posts on their place. And then they went onto Facebook and they asked people to send stories of unvaxxed people dying. Now, that's what they said. Send us stories for unvaxxed people dying. Well, they didn't receive that. They received 182,000 Facebook responses of vaccine injuries and vaccine death. That's post that was on Facebook last Friday. It was posted on the 17th. And today, by the 22nd, when they went to press, 182,000 responses into Facebook about injuries and death, not about people who had any problems that were unvaxxed, only people who were vaxxed. And they were all just coming. Bradley said he read dozens of them, and they all reported the same thing, that deaths and injuries, serious problems. Anyway, that's what's happening, you guys. Everybody thinks this is not going on. There's 182,000 stories on Facebook. So far, Facebook hadn't taken it down. And Bradley said they probably didn't, because the story would be greater if they did. But they won't leave it up for long. They'll take it down. You can be sure of it. But that's what happened over the last 4 days with Detroit TV request and Facebook. That's what happened. Today, I received an email. I get one of these every day from Edward Griffin, G. Edward Griffin. News you got to know about is what he calls it. Today, there were five stories. I'm going to go through them one at a time. The very first one talks about one out of 1,000 people who have been vaccinated will develop heart disease. Yes, one out of 1,000. That's from statistics of medical treatment, of care, medical care organizations, not just somebody doing a study. They did studies, of course. One out of every 1,000 people who get vaccinated will develop heart disease, inflammation of the heart. And 50% of those will die within 3 to 10 years. Those people wouldn't have developed heart disease. They had not taken that vaccine. And they wouldn't be dying within 3 to 10 years. And he didn't put an age on that. 20-year-olds, one in a thousand, will get the disease, and 50% of those will die within three to ten years. That was the first story. The second story, vaccine injuries and deaths of children. Now, just a minute now. What did I just say? Vaccine injuries and deaths of children. I'm going to read that one. I'm going to read the article. There are newest examples. This is a segment of what is on the page. There are numerous examples of the United Nations, the World Bank, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the GAVI Vaccine Alliance running vaccine campaigns in third world countries that have killed, injured, or sterilized populations, mostly children. The internet has been scrubbed of most of this information. Bill Gates has spent or donated over $250 million to mainstream media outlets, which have given him virtual control over the public information. Children being sterilized, destroyed. On purpose, I might add. He was also involved in the Gardasil stuff. He took the Gardasil stuff to Africa to sterilize as many as they could. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Bill Gates is in the middle of sterilizing the country. Another article. The vaccine injuries. No, I'm sorry. 6 foot is an arbitrary decision. Arbitrary. No science involved. They just picked 6 feet. Now, the science involved would say, not 6 feet, 26 feet. The virus will travel in undisturbed air. 26 feet. So if you're close like 20 feet to somebody who's got it, you will. Another article, not today, another time.
I just want to buttress that. If you've ever seen Eric the Tech sneeze, 26 feet is, you need a face shield at 26 feet. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay. Anyway, I read an item, not today. It was a day or two ago, that says if 15 people are in a room, just 15 people in a room together, didn't give the dimensions, probably wasn't auditorium size, probably was just a regular room, within a few minutes, everybody will have breathed air from everybody. Within just a few minutes. Remember, the virus goes 26 feet. It doesn't, in non-disturbed air. If you've got a fan blowing or a wind blowing, it changes it. Might keep it in the air longer. But 6 feet does nothing. Okay? 6 feet does nothing. And the mask does nothing. So there you have it. The next one, a nurse. This is a nurse in the health services division, Indian nation, doesn't matter. She revealed the cover-up of the vaccine injuries and deaths that's been pushed on the public. Quite a discussion there that she points out. Next, and I think this is really, really bad. Scientists are working on growing plants. Lettuce and spinach is what they're concentrating on. Growing plants that will carry the disease of the injection. So you don't have to take the injection. Just eat the plant.
It's stated differently. It carries the composition of the clot shot, if you will, or the jab.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep,
right.
That's right.
And
yes.
Of this radical gene therapy. And think about that, Richard Proctor, ProvisteInstitute.com. Think about that, the fact that they can actually produce in greens this genetically modified substance. So the vaccine's not even a vaccine. It's a radical gene or genetic therapy. And if that doesn't really drive the point home, I don't know what will. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, yes. The MGO is gene multiplication or modification in your seeds, in your plants. Guys, these guys are fooling around with our food supply. Before, they've just been fooling around and it was, you know, missing things. Now they're fooling around with how to implant this mRNA factor into the plants so that when you eat them, you get the problem. Now that's really something. You don't have to worry. They don't have to worry about if you people were taking an injection or not. They won't matter. They're going to eat the plants. You've had it. And who's going to sell it? The stores. All the grocery stores will be selling produce with, and I don't know what other products come from the plants that they're going to use, but you can be sure that lettuce and spinach are the ones they're going to do first. Lettuce? Every time you go to a restaurant, you eat lettuce. Every time you buy a head of lettuce, every time you use any lettuce at all, it introduces into you the gene modification that you get from the jab. That's amazing. This is all from Ed Griffin's website today.
Right. And I have to say this, other outlets have been reporting on that too. And this is in part a Gates or, yes, you know, even a larger pool, the people who want to see the population reduced. This is part, yes, of their plan. This is not for the health. This is not about health. This is about controlling the food, controlling what you eat so you consume what you refuse to take by way of injection. Go ahead.
Yes. And I talked about that 95% death of the planet. That only leaves about 500 million people. 95% of the people on this planet should die. Did you know Jacques Cousteau was a part of that 95%?
Yep.
People?
Yep.
Jacques Cousteau was a part of it?
Yep.
Guys, people we would never even think about are all a part of it. This is terrible. And they want 95% of the people dead. Not them, of course. Just us. And that's what this whole pandemic is about. This wasn't about a disease. This is about getting a vaccine to people. It's planned. There's no coincidences. There's no, oh, well, let's do a vaccine. No, 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 no. These things started with a plan clear back in before 2010. They just published the scenario in 2010 on page 18. And then they tested something. I don't know how they tested it, but they did in 2012. And now they've actually given it to us in 2020. But it was to destroy Trump and 95% of the lives of the people on the planet. Now everybody wants to take the shot to protect them against the hoax that they put upon us with lies. And now everybody wants to take the shot, and the shot was the goal. The shot's the goal. Now they got 80 million people won't take it. That's the number they pass around. 80 million people won't take it. That's why we're having such emphasis from Biden. 80 million people are getting away with it just in this country. 80 million. So you got to figure out other ways to do this. Door to door. All that kind of stuff. Isolation camps. All that kind of stuff. We got to get you to give the shot. Folks, be scared of this. It's coming at us. And hospitals are one of the worst violators of these things. Why? Because they make money. They stay open because they further this program. And as they further the program, they get paid by the government to further it. And that's the only way they're staying open, because the patients aren't there anymore, because they stop having them. The docs and nurses have been laid off because they don't have anything to do except little odds and ends. I know the VA hospital in my community here in Salt Lake City, which covers most of the Midwest, up to Utah, clear up to Montana, Nevada, Idaho, all around. The one here in Utah covers all of that area. They've got a pretty good sized hospital. The complex is huge. And they have 40, they had, at the time I discovered it, 40 patients. That's all. 40 patients. And presumably they all had COVID. Nothing else. Nothing else. No elective stuff. Nothing else.
Well, and we, so we're, folks, we're being lied to. Just real quick, as you're talking, there is an article dated yesterday in the American Thinker by Leanne Horrocks, the title of the article is "Here's a Nurse Who May Have Figured Delta Out." All right. This is not just about the Delta variant or what they're terming the Delta variant, but this is about everything that Richard just spoke about. From a nursing perspective, the fact that the vaccine, in quotes, is not a vaccine, it's a radical genetic gene therapy being tested on the human race. The vaccine, and I use that term loosely, doesn't work for its stated purpose. It doesn't prevent infection. It's risky. You've got myocarditis, as you pointed out, the heart troubles.
One out of a thousand.
That's probably understated. The vast majority of information outlets in America have been enlisted to join the government and fiercely being very aggressive in tamping down this information. And it's interesting that that article that was talked about by Bradley Dean, going back to your original statement, is still standing. However, you're right. Taking that out would have the what I call the Project Veritas effect. It would amplify the message and create a worse situation than leaving it alone. So go ahead, sir.
And you just mentioned the virus effect. I read this yesterday. They're talking about the number of deaths and things, and they had big numbers, but the end of the article said, and Veritas really only gets 1% of what's going on.
Veritas. The voluntary adverse event reporting system. And
on immunizations. They get 1% of what's happened because it's all voluntary.
Right.
1% is all they get. So anything you see that talks about that organization should be multiplied by 100.
I would say that that's more accurate than not. And people will say, well, how can you prove that? Well, you can extrapolate from the actual VAERS reporting system itself in the fact that, okay, how many are reporting? It's about, it's 1% or, some say 5%, 1%, whatever the percentage might be, but it's certainly woefully inadequate. Go ahead.
You know, I've been compiling articles on these subjects. I've been doing this for about, 2 months, maybe less. I have 24 articles right now in this list. No, 22 articles right now in this list of 40,000 words. I can almost just copy these and have a book. And it's only been the last month or so of major items. And this thing about VAERS, whatever, is in the last one I got from Lex Green. And he talked about one case after another, case after case after case after case, that all had significant death. Mm. Yes, death.
That's the objective. I mean, when you look at the... This goes back to your last night's Patreon about conspiracies into next month's Patreon about secret societies. The secret societies are working the conspiracies, and folks, there are secret societies out there. Believe me when I say this, because I can point to a few right now, but I'm not going to. But the fact is, you've got these societies who are teamed up with the globalists. The globalist period, and the genocide favoring individuals who want to reduce the population. And you see how nice this all fits together, folks? Go ahead, sir.
I would say they're just a little bit different.
Okay.
The secret societies are the people in the conspiracy. They are the Rothschilds and the Hagman and the, not the Hagman.
Wait, whoa.
The Harriman. Yeah, you made a mistake last week and I made a mistake.
I know.
Never mind. The Harriman family. The Bush family belongs to the Harriman family.
Yep.
These people are right here today. They're the descendants of Lazard, Kuhn Loeb, House, Dulles. We can go on and on. The list is in the front of my book, my volume one.
Yep.
It's right in the preface on the second page. The list of these people. You can go see their names. Then if you've got volume one in your possession, you can go to the end and you can get the entire membership of the Skull and Bones since 1835 to 1985. The whole membership and the year they served. And who was there? The Bush family had seven. Seven. Is that right? Seven? Yes, that's right. I get it together. Seven people in that organization. And there's only 15 selected out of the senior class each year at Yale University. And of those 15, during the years they were there, they have seven in their family that are members of Skull and Bones. Oh, you guys, the Order of Skull and Bones is a big deal. It's the beginning ground. Taking people in, teaching them, and getting them into the program of the conspiracy that I talk about. By the way, there's no theory here at all. There is no theory about this conspiracy. They just use that as a term to make you think it's fake. It's not fake. And we're going to talk about those secret societies next month. We're going to talk about them, name them. We're going to go over what they do, what they are, when they started. I have a book right here. Let me just bring it out here right now. I'll just bring it out. See that book right there? I see it backwards. I don't know how you guys see it. That book is written by a guy named Robison in 1798. Eyewitness account of the foundation of the Illuminati.
Eyewitness account. Wow. All right.
Eyewitness account. Yep. 1798. And then he traces what they do. We're going to talk about all that kind of stuff next week.
Good.
That's where it's coming from. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's still with us. It's still with us.
I'm going to toss in the line that you're talking about here. I'm not going to stray from what you're talking about, but I will say this. The more I look at the things that you're talking about, the more I see so-called elite, which are not elite, folks. They're scumbags, and that's putting it kindly. I believe, as I see all of this take place, that none of these scumbags that associate like themselves with the elite have taken the clot shot. They've probably taken a saline solution. That's my opinion.
No. I'm going to take it at all.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
You're on television. Okay, give it to me. And if it's a syringe going into someone's arm that's considered elite, I don't believe that clot shot juice is in that syringe. That's my view.
That's a good idea. It's a good plan. It's a good observation. Yeah. Absolutely.
So
they know what's going on. They're not going to put it in their bodies.
No, they're not. But you will you will put it in your bodies. And Fauci just came out, Mike Adams reporting on this. You know, you're not considered, you will not have a digital passport or vaccine card or whatever you want to call it unless you got the three-shot, the trifecta of genetic therapy abuses. Just saying. But that's all in line with what you're saying. Go ahead.
Oh, yes, and they're going to have more shots coming. 4 a year, 3 a year, every year on out. And if you haven't got all of them, you're not vaccinated, and you are considered unvaccinated by the rules, not by the stuff. You're already vaccinated for sure. And booster shots to make sure it takes. And if it didn't take, you're going to have another one. Oh, yes. On and on and on and on. This is all. This is now the next. I want just two more items. I want to come back to what we were just talking about. First, Washington State. Washington State now has posted an ad to hire people. Okay, they've advertised for people to come and work for as a staff working in the isolation and quarantine facilities. They are manning, State of Washington is hiring a staff of people to operate the isolation camps and the quarantine camps. Now, think on that for a minute. That's what's happening, you guys. That's what's happening. Folks, we're in deep kimchi. Now, this is the one I wanted to get to next, for sure. Humana. Humana is a big insurance company. I got a document from Humana today. What you need to know about the flu shot. Very important to take the flu shot. This is an emphasis to take the flu shot. This is what the article said that I copied out. Well, I pasted it out. I didn't copy it at all. I copied and pasted it. What you need to know about the flu shot. A flu shot is the best way to lower your risk of getting the flu. According to the CDC, it also helps reduce the spread of the flu to your friends, family, and coworkers. Do you pick up the words there? Reduce the spread of the flu to your friends, family, and coworkers? Isn't that what masks are supposed to do? Isn't that what the vaccine's supposed to do? Okay, reduce the spread. Here we got flu shot. Reduce the spread of the flu to your families, friends, and coworkers. So even if you don't think you need it for yourself, do it for those you love. Do it for those you love. Isn't that the advertisement for taking the vaccine? Get your shot before the flu season begins to get safer sooner so you and your family are prepared. Isn't that exactly what we're being told? So the reason to take the flu shot, here it comes out from a reputable insurance company telling people to get the flu shot. It's going to be laced with the mRNA gene therapy stuff, just the same as the injection. Now, on that same article, Stanford researchers have decided, again, Humana's article, that 98.6 is not the proper body temperature any longer. Oh, yeah? The body temperature?
Wait, what?
Yep, the body temperature. 98.6 is not the body temperature any longer.
They're going to have to change that 60s song then.
Yes, we have to say to change a lot of stuff.
All right.
The body temperature, this was the body temp, they said, this is what they said, and that's this part's probably true. The body temperature was determined like in 1851 by the taking people and putting temperatures under their armpits to figure out what their temperature was, putting it all together, and they came up with 98.6, and it's lived for 150 years. But now, Stanford researchers, whoever they are, have decided that the body temperature is really 97.9, which is a half a degree lower. Now, if you went to the hospital today and they took your temperature and it was 99.1, they would consider that a fever and we're in trouble. You know, you got to take care of this. Just a half a degree up. Well, if the body temperature is alleged to be 97.9, one half a degree above that is 98.6, and you've got a fever. And isn't that one of the things they look for to make sure you got to take the shot? You see what's happening here? And this came from Humana. We're changing everything so that we can get everybody inoculated. Jab.
Not going to work. I mean, it's so for the sheep out there, you know, look, if you want to get that clot shot based on your independent research, then by all means, don't let me stop you. Okay. And I mean yes. That. All right.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
In fact,
I've got my opinion, you've got yours, right?
That's yep. Right. I'll drive you there if you want, okay? Because, you know. But, yeah, so they're changing definitions. They're changing rules. You know, follow the science as long as, I mean, you got to follow the science, but the science changes like every other day. And it doesn't evolve with increased knowledge. It devolves with increased propaganda. Go ahead.
Goals. There's a program, there's a plan, and the science will make sure that you think the science is supporting their plan. I mean, that's what's going on, you guys. There's no real science behind any of this stuff. Remember I said the virus floats for 26 feet? They call it 8 meters. That's 26 feet. Did you know the virus blows that far? So what's this to do with 6 feet? Nothing at all. Did you know that the virus is tenth of a micron in size. One tenth of a micron. I mean, one tenth of a micron. That's so small. That's getting back to, wow, one tenth of a micron? That's the size. So the mass you've got will probably take, I don't know, 20 microns. Whoops. It'll stop 20 micron, an item the size of 20 microns or 10. I don't care which number you use, but the germ is one tenth of a micron, which means that the germ will float through that and not even see the edges. Football field, side of a football field, side of a basketball court. I don't know exactly. I didn't compute that. I can, but I didn't. I mean, that's the relationship. It's not one hundredth now. I mean, one tenth. It's one hundredth of the size. Because you see, the 10 microns and one tenth of it would be one hundredth of 10 microns. One tenth of one is one hundredth of 10. 10 microns is about what is the best that mass can do. And most of them won't even do less than, I don't know, 150, 175 or 80. Most of them won't even do that. A cloth mask over your face, in many cases, won't even keep the dust out. You can see dust. Folks, that's what's going on. We're being lied to. They call it science. Oh, they started this. They started this at the Iron Mountain Conference. What can we do? How can we keep control of people during a peacetime? That was the goal of the Iron Mountain Congress, convention, committee, however you want to do it. That group of people met in the cavern in Iron Mountain. Now, what's that cavern? That cavern is where most of the major organizations have their major business information, major business assets, so that they'll be protected in case of some kind of a catastrophe.
And I just want to add one thing. Okay, the report from Iron Mountain has been the subject of much controversy and, of course, fact-checking. Anytime a fact-checker comes up and says the report from Iron Mountain is a fraudulent document and it was admitted to being a fraudulent document contemporaneous to its issuance back in the whatever late 60s, early 70s. I think it was late 60s.
Yep. Okay, late 60s.
You're right. You've got to understand, folks, that is propaganda itself. In other words, the information contained in that report from Iron Mountain was not assailed. It was the author who then allegedly walked back some stuff based on, quote, fact-checking. What I'm saying to you is pay attention to that report. Like Richard Proctor just said, pay attention. Go ahead, sir.
I have a copy of that report myself. I have read it. I have read what the Iron Mountain Report talks about. And in essence, the whole goal was, how do we control the population when there's not a war going on? That was the goal. So they talked about, I'm going to talk about a little what that Iron Mountain Report says, the results of that committee and their research. What can we do? Well, one of the things they said to do, let's tell people that asteroids will come and destroy the world so that we can get people to build things to protect us from the asteroids. That way we can control the people because they'll be afraid of asteroids. They'll be afraid of the sky. That was a goal. Disease was a goal. Climate was a goal. And the guys decided on climate, the real users decided on climate, and that's where climate cooling came about. First time, the ice age is coming. Oh, we're all going to die of ice. Oh, terrible. Then it got warm. Oh, warming. Everything, we're going to die of floods now. Ooh. It got cool again. Oh, now climate change is going to take us all out. In 100 years, we're all going to die from climate change. And you can't test that, folks. You can't test 100 years from now. It's impossible. It's untestable. I can test something that they claimed would happen in 10 years because now is 10 years after that claim. And now it didn't happen. So obviously the claim was incorrect then. And by the way, that's much of what Al Gore does. He claimed and said these things would happen in 10 years and they haven't happened. They haven't happened in 20. They haven't happened in any of the period of time. And they won't happen in 100 either. How about that? All of these things are fabricated for propaganda to control the population when there's no war going on.
And if I can just add a question here to you, How are people not seeing this? When you've got the, in my view, in my personal opinion, the psychopathic mayor of San Francisco out there, you know, doing the boogie oogie dance to whatever spirit or song moved her, you know, Massless, and saying, well, you know, that's okay. So you've got these overlords who say, well, I don't need a mask. You've got the overlords saying one thing and doing another, and it's in our faces. They're laughing at us. How is it that the sheep who are so afraid to leave their house without an N95 respirator mask, who are so afraid to leave their house without their 19th booster shot? I watched a conversation online, and saying, well, you know, if I have to lie to get my booster, I will, saying I'm immunocompromised. How is it, Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, how is it that these people are just falling for this cult-like lie activity when, in fact, they call people who, you know, want to keep America great again the cultists, and yet they're the sheep, they're the part of the cult, they're the part of the, my gosh, you know, we've got to just do this, the virtue signal and such. I mean, what's wrong with this picture? Why aren't people understanding that they have been bent over and ravaged, and they still are? And what's wrong with people? I guess that's my question. Richard Proctor, ProvostInstitute.com. What is wrong with people? Go ahead, sir.
Okay, I'm gonna try to answer what I think what you're talking about is the cause of this. It goes back to, oh, I don't know, Dewey in charge of the school system a long, long time ago, when the Illuminati guys, it was in the 1800s. He went to Germany and talked with Adam Westphal. He came back from Germany and began the school system, and one of the public school system. Okay. And then they slowly changed things in the public school system so that you didn't learn. Now, since about 1960, and that was the year they took God out of the schools. Yeah, 1962 and 63. Again, that's in my Liberty series, the dates, who did it, how it was done, Supreme Court. Anyway, that's when those things started to come out. And then the teachings of the schools to all the kids. What? How old are the kids now that were in school in the 1970s? 50 years old.
Yeah, 60, depending on what part of the 70s.
You know what part we're talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
50 to 60 years old. They're not youth. And I've read these things. Teachers saying to the kids, truth is how you see it. What you see is truth. And they're hammered. It's hammered into them in this 6 hours a day, 5 days a week for 9 months of the year. It's hammered into them. Truth is how you see truth. How you see truth, that's truth, not real truth. It's what you think is truth. You can do what you want. It's okay. Depending on, there's no morality. Do whatever you want. That started in the 60s and moved into the 70s. People now 50 and 60 years old that were taught those things. Yes.
There's a great vacuum that's created when you take God out of the schools, you take morality out of governance and the schools and the justice system. You have left a system that is guided by immorality, that's guided by or influenced by the worst of the worst. You're right.
It's a satanic goal.
Yes.
Satanic plan. And it's being put in. So I would say to you that the reason people are acting this way is because they were conditioned to accept whatever the government says for the last 50 years in school. They're also conditioned to think that socialism works. They can't find a place where it did, but they always say, well, that wasn't done right. If they'd just done it right, it would have worked. And that's the way the professors teach it. Oh, if it had just done right, it would have been okay. It's wonderful. I talk about the book, Philip Drew Administrator. That book is a plan to how to destroy the United States. Page by page. It's a very, very interesting book to read, but you got to pick out the plan to destroy the country. And the CEO Philip Drew, the CEO, the administrator of the United States, at the end of the book, decides that everything is right, exactly right. We have reached utopia, and he goes off into the sunset in a boat with his wife and kids. We're off in the sunset. I'm not going to bother anymore. It's all done. It's perfect. And that's the idea they give everybody, that as soon as this program is right, the leadership will turn it over to the people, because now it's right, and the leadership will bow out. And that's what Philip Drew does in the book. And folks, that's what they teach over and over and over. Socialism wasn't done right. If they'd just done it right, it wouldn't be a problem. Oh, it's perfect if they just would do it right. But nobody can do it right. So it never works. It's also patterned after a plan outlined in the New Testament, where they talk about people living in a group and everybody contributing to the group, their work and their results. And so everybody becomes a part of a group. That was brought up in the New Testament. It didn't work then either.
Exactly.
It didn't work. Nope. It doesn't work. People don't do it. People don't do it. So socialism won't work. There's a story in the economics classes. They talk about those who want to talk against socialism, talk about it. Those who want socialism will not talk about it. Okay? That's why I had such a tough problem in school, because I won't accept socialism. They get really upset with me. Anyway, so here we go. Here's what happened. This is a story that happened in an economics class, maybe. I don't know. Could have happened in any class, though. Didn't have to be an economics class. Happened in any class. The youth who have been brainwashed that socialism is great, everybody, the ultimate is everybody be the same, we'll have everything right, everything will be perfect. Oh, it'll be just a utopia. By the way, that's what the Illuminati's talking about. Those that are illuminated to the truth. That's what Illuminati means. That's why they use that term. They have illuminists, those people that are most light, have more light in them, the illuminists. That's a term they use in their organization. How about that? Anyway, Illuminati, here we go. Well, we're back to this class, any class. The students said, we want to be fair to everybody. We don't want anybody to fail. We want everybody to be successful and get this passed, get everybody be perfect and successful in this program. So to do that, they said to the professor, let's get the word economics out of it, it doesn't matter, can be any class. To do that, the professor says, okay, do you really want me to do that, to grade that way? Yes, we want you to grade that way. We want everything to be the same so everybody wins together. Everybody wins together. Did you hear that phrase? Everybody wins together. We all get A's. That's the plan. Everybody will be the best they can be. Well, the teacher says, okay, I'll do it. We'll start this whole semester. That's what we'll do. I'll do that. So the teacher then gives a test. Now, everybody in the class had assignments to do. And there were a lot of people in the class that just worked hard and they learned the material. And a lot of people in the class, maybe the class is only 30, so it's not a lot, but get the idea. Other people's in the class, they didn't do anything because that was their norm. They didn't do anything. So they took the test. Everybody takes the test. The guys that didn't do anything would have gotten F's, and the guys who did everything really good would have gotten A's. But the professor had told them we would grade everybody the same. So everybody got a C. What? The hardworking guy said, what? And the other guy said, yay! Okay, I got a C, yay! I didn't do anything. I got a C. Yay. And the hard worker said, I worked hard and I only got a C. What? 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 So the hard workers didn't work so hard. And more people floated down to the I don't do anything area. And the next test, everybody got a B. No, they didn't. They all got D's because that's what the average was. They didn't win. They lost. Everybody didn't get a B. They lost. They went to D's. Now, the students, the best guy, what do I get a D? What are you talking about? I knew more. Oh, no, everybody was graded on the average. The average was D. And the guys who did nothing at all were tickled to death. They still got a D. And now we have people blaming each other for why the grades were the way they were. The next test, everybody failed. Now there's anger. Everybody's fighting. You didn't do anything. You didn't do this. We only failed because of you. You didn't do enough. You. But you notice failure, not winning.
Right.
Every person in the class failed because they didn't learn the material. Everyone failed because the people who worked hard didn't want to have their work given to somebody else. I.e., I don't want to work hard in my business because my profit will be given to them. I don't want to work hard in a progressive income tax. What's the word progressive? It's very important. Progressive means better. Okay. Progressive income tax, which is an income tax that's graduated. The more you make, the more you pay. Everybody says that's the way it should be. The more you make, the more you should pay. So the people who are making more begin to look and say, well, not just a minute. I'm making more, but they take it away from me. So since I'm making more, and to make more, I have to have businesses. And since I have to have businesses to make more, I just won't do any more businesses. Then I'll keep my money. It won't be at risk. I won't lose anything. I'll have what I have, and I won't lose it because I didn't make it, you see. You don't get taxed on stuff you have. You get taxed on stuff you earn. So we won't worry about earning anything. So I won't establish any businesses. So what happens? All the people that would have worked in his business don't. So now we have a case where nobody's working because nobody's invested, because the rich don't have any incentive to invest, because if they invest, they just lose. They can always lose, but they never win, because if they win, they're taxed and they lose again. So they stop doing it. And companies can't do it, can't grow, especially companies with a lot of infrastructure, cannot grow, cannot be established if there's nobody investing in them. And these guys with the money won't, because they don't want to lose it. So the other guys don't have jobs and they don't have anything, and the economy goes down. That's progressive income tax. That's how it works. Now, why did we get it in 1913? How did they sell this program? They sold it by telling the people who were on the will be supported or not. They said, don't worry about it. It's only going to be 3%, and it's only going to be against the rich people. Don't worry about it. And shouldn't we tax the rich? Shouldn't they pay their fair share? Do you hear that today? Pay their fair share?
You're right. Yeah.
That's what socialism is.
Yep.
Pay your fair share, which means your fair share. You don't need $1 million to live. You only need 20,000 like I have. Okay. So I'll give you all of my money and I'll be 20,000 like everybody else. No, he doesn't say that. He just doesn't invest. And you don't have a job. So the whole economy goes down. Folks, capitalism is not wrong. Capitalism is right. But misused capitalism is wrong. Did you hear how I said that? You can think about anything. Chlorine. Chlorine is a good thing. Goes into your water, kills the germs, so you have water you can drink and not get sick. Chlorine's good. Dump a gallon of it and it'll kill you. It's bad. So chlorine is bad. No, chlorine is good. Used properly, chlorine is good. Used improperly, chlorine is bad. That's the same with capitalism. Used properly, it's good. It develops a community. It develops. Everybody has things. But you don't get it by doing nothing. You get it by earning. But when you earn, you get to keep what you earn. That's capitalism working. Now, bad use of capitalism is the people take their capitalism and they buy big companies to put other little companies out of business. Just a minute. What did I just say? Big companies can continue to work while little companies are put out of business. By the way, that's socialism. Let's think back to 2020. Let's just think back. What happened in 2020? The big box stores stayed open. The little people, the small stores all went out of their clothes. They closed their doors, shut them down. They didn't shut down Costco. They didn't shut down Walmart. They didn't shut down Home Depot. They didn't shut down any of the big companies. You had to go there to buy. Because all the places you used to buy from are now shut down. By who? By the government. So you see, that's capitalism was right for all those people who were doing small businesses. That was right. The big businesses, they weren't wrong until they used their purchasing power, their selling power, to destroy what was right. And that's what they did per the government. our government. Such a nice government.
That's right. And you've got the co-conspirators out there saying, okay, we're going to define what an essential worker is. We're going to define what an essential business is. And you're leaving, you are contaminating capitalism by way of political agenda into the communist model. And what you said earlier about the progressive income tax, that really originates from Karl Marx, who's not the originator of the statement from each according to his ability to each according to his needs. That's kind of the basis for that progressive income tax and everything that undergirds what we're seeing today. So you're exactly right. Go ahead.
It was the Roosevelt, one of the Roosevelt family that really put that together in about 1850, way before Karl Marx.
Right.
About 1850 or a little earlier. He's the one who started this idea from everybody according to everybody according to their needs and from everybody according to their ability, that kind of thing. We're going to take from people who have more, give it to people who have nothing. That's what it is. That's where it started. Or at least that's the information I have where it started, Roosevelt. Not Theodore or Franklin Delano, but a Roosevelt of the family. His last name, it's in the book. It's in the Life of Liberty series.
I don't want to, I apologize for over-talking. The Liberty series, folks, is an important read. Make sure you get a hold of the Liberty series from ProvisInstitute.com. We only have about 4 minutes. I can't believe how quickly this hour is gone. 4 minutes left of the program. What's that? 3 minutes left. Eric the Tech just corrected me. So, but you dumped a lot of information in this hour, a lot. So go ahead and wrap it up in 3 minutes.
Well, the bottom line is that we are being turned into a socialistic country. By the way, this has been a health thing when we talked about the things from Griffin's thing, and now it's an economics thing. So that's okay. Anyway, so socialism is sold to our kids in school as a utopia, and they believe it and they want it. So it's easy for them to follow the path to become a part of that kind of a system. And it destroys system. Socialism destroys the system. And I would never part of it. That's why I have a Provost Institute. I have Provost Institute of political economics to teach people the real stuff and teach people why socialism is bad and what is right and how to have proper capitalism. That's what it does. That's what it's for. The goal is to provide a source of income, of information that's not tainted by today's school system. Not tainted by today's school system.
And I have to commend you on that, folks. I want everyone at the end of this broadcast or now to visit ProvisInstitute.com. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com for this episode. And it's linked at all of our programs with Richard Proctor. And I want you to take a good hard look at the material there. Because, you know, some people say do your own research. That doesn't mean Google. It doesn't mean,
whatever. It sure doesn't. Okay. It sure doesn't mean Google.
Right. It means reading a book. It means doing the deep research, not some algorithmic, instructive, pre-programmed BS. And that's why Richard's important. That's why his work is important. And that's why I have him on the show, because he's got the message. And support him by way of Patreon. I can't wait for the next one about the secret societies. I think that's so important right now. So very important. But Richard, I want to say thank you. Again, thank you for being so flexible. We're beat up, rode hard, put away wet here in the investigations that are taking place. But thank you for, but this is the program for tonight. And I want to say thank you for your
excellent
flexibility.
Glad to be here. Worked out very well. Appreciate it.
A lot of information in that, brother. A lot of information in that hour. My goodness. All right. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Folks, again, I'm going to ask you, please do me a favor. Please put your prayers on Northwest Pennsylvania, Erie specifically, Russ Dizdar, his team, our team, teams working together to really expose what's really taking place. Things are heating up. Understand that this is really a component of the larger Great Reset. And if we can be the fly in their ointment, the cog in their, or the wrench in their cog, then so be it. We can at least buy some time. May God bless each and every one of you. Please stay safe. Please pass the information about this program along to others. May God bless. Good night. Tomorrow, Steve Quayle, by the way. Tomorrow, Steve Quayle. And there it is. Provost.